We are in Mark chapter 10 today. We're going to look at 12 verses. It's the title you see on your worksheet is Divorce and Remarriage. excuse me. We'll see in that passage where the Pharisees are just trying to challenge Jesus again and pit him against the law of Moses. And Jesus cannot be outwitted, so... one of the passages we might allude to, we're going to read, do as our reading. And so it's kind of long, so do your best. John chapter 8, we're going to read verses 3 through 11. John chapter 8, the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. And many of you know it well. So I'm going to read the odd number verses, and you'll read the even number. So John 8, 3 through 11, and I'll start here at verse 3. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst,
they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.
Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?
This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear.
So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.
And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst.
When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?
She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Lord, we thank you for your holiness, Lord, the holiness that gave us the law and how we should live, and your holiness of your mercy and your grace and your love that you made a way for us by dying on the cross for us. Lord, just pray you will teach us and show us your way deeper in our hearts as we go through our passage today. In Jesus' name, in your name, amen. So Mark chapter 10. Like I said, this will be, that's not Mark, the first 12 verses is all we're looking at today. So it says here in verse 1, Mark chapter 10, then he, obviously Jesus, then he arose from there, that would be Galilee, and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them again. So he's on the other side of the Jordan River, kind of away from where the Pharisees and all those are wanting to condemn him. And still the crowds were drawn to him. I love how it says that they came to him again, and as it was his, as he was accustomed, he taught them again. So we get lots of narrative of him healing people in these situations, but he was always teaching. He was always telling people the whole truth, you know, the gospel and the goodness of the Father and grace of God. So that's just sort of the introduction. And then, so verse 2, the Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. So again, they were jealous of him. Number 1 on your sheet, the Pharisees were trying to prove that Jesus was against Moses, and therefore Jesus could not be the Messiah. And the verse I have there is just from part of the reading we read, where they're trying to trick him here, and they were trying to trick him when they brought that woman caught in the act of adultery. Which, by the way, if she was caught in the act, you've probably heard this before, where was the man? Because that was unlawful for both man and woman. They brought her, and we read this together, but they said, you know, Moses says we should stone this woman. What do you say? And in their mind, they're thinking, if he says, don't stone her, then, oh, you're against the law of Moses. And if he says, stone her, then, oh, where is all this love and, you know, that you talk about? I'm assuming, you know. So they're just trying to trap him. So what does he say? You know, you who are without sin, if you're sinless, you can throw the first stone. And obviously the Holy Spirit was present, I think, during that moment, because they were all convicted, and it says they just dropped their stones and walked away. But that's the thing, that the Pharisees were the ruling religious leaders at that time, and they didn't know the Lord. They didn't really know the heart of God. And they, again, if you want just a real blunt description of them, you can always read Matthew 23. That's where Jesus says 8 times in one chapter, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he talks about all the different ways that they don't represent God. So, but that's what they're trying here. They asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? So he knows where they're going with it. And if you look at verse 3 at our passage here, it says, and he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And I'm just going to go ahead and, we'll get back to it, but we're going to finish the passage, the reading part. But number 2 on your worksheet, the Old Testament allowed divorce, quote, because of the hardness of our heart. And you might think, hey, wait a minute, why'd you put our heart? Well, notice how they were asking about Moses, why he gave them a certificate. This would be thousands of years, at least 1,000 years previous to Jesus. Maybe, I don't remember now, but a long time ago. Why did Moses way back then give them a certificate of divorce? Jesus says, because of the hardness of your hearts, because we've all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But let's just finish the passage, because we just have verses 10 through 12. So he shares that with them. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And then verse 10, in the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. I love when the house is where he was staying there in Capernaum, no doubt. Or wherever he was staying on his travels here. And the 12 would be with him. And that's when they would often ask him to explain this parable to us. So here it says, they asked him about the same matter that was troubling them. So he's very straightforward with them. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So, and again, back to our number 2 on our worksheet, it was allowed because of the hardness of our hearts. But as we read on, you look at number 3 on your sheet, but this was not God's heart. So Jesus takes them back to the beginning. That's the word there, back. He takes them back to the beginning. Notice again, he's just quoting Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and chapter 5, verse 2, but then also Genesis 2:24, and I'll read that. This is in our passage, verses 6 and 7. He says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. That's Genesis 22, or chapter 2, verse 24. And six or seven verses after that, when you get into chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin, they eat the fruit. So that's what we're looking at. Think of the context. Before sin came, that was the, Adam and Eve wouldn't have had any problems, you know, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. So no one would have any, there'd be no divorces, there'd be no sin, there's no sin. But because we live in a fallen world, the Lord, you know, he had a plan from the beginning to send his son to die on the cross for us. And when you look at the Old Testament, Moses did, the references, I have it there on your number two, Deuteronomy 24:1, and that simply says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of the house. It goes on from there. It talks about she departs and she finds someone else and marries him. But then it goes on to say, if that man dies or if he doesn't like her either, then she can leave him. But then it goes on to say, but it's not lawful for her to go back and marry the first husband, or for the first husband to take her back. And the implication there is the first husband realized what he thought the grass was greener on the other side, maybe. But whatever, that gets deeper into it than we need to get into it. I want to go back to verse 1 of Deuteronomy 24. And he says, if he found some uncleanness in her. And again, it seems this is so chauvinistic, it seems. But really, the rabbis also, they had it in those days to where if a woman her man is mistreating her, she could go to the rabbi and they would make the man divorce her. So, but this thing about some uncleanness, there were the different scholars and rabbis had different interpretations of what would the uncleanness be. And some of the liberal ones, I've heard that there was a liberal scholar that said, if she burnt the toast, you could get rid of her. And then even another one, if you saw someone you liked better than her, that's an uncleanness. So that's very liberal, right? That's what we call very, which way is right or left to you? I don't know. That's very liberal. The more conservative would be, you know, obviously if she cheats on you, that's uncleanness, you know. And Jesus, they knew that Jesus was strict. So again, they're trying to challenge him. You know, Moses said to write a certificate of divorce. So it must be okay. And no, I haven't even given you, let's see, number three, but write it. Did I give you number three already? I did, right? Back, yeah. So number four, we must always leave room for mercy and grace, but this is not license to sin. This is not license to sin. I've heard it said, maybe you've heard this before, sin is not bad because it's forbidden. Sin is forbidden because it's bad. It's bad for us. The scripture says that our sin will find us out, but also it's just destructive. It's, you know, we do a good enough job just messing up our lives by sinning, by wanting to take the shortcut, or by wanting the immediate gratification. And that's how but God loves us, you know. And by the way, the scripture says in Malachi, God hates divorce. But he hates divorce not as a mean judge, but as a brokenhearted father. If you look in that Malachi chapter 2 passage, it talks about he seeks godly children. And does divorce affect children? Obviously, it does a lot. So God, that's, you know, so it's just, so again, it's the hardness of the heart. And, you know, marriage, you know, I say this at weddings that I do. Our pastor didn't say this, but I've heard it, and it's true. Marriage could be the closest thing to heaven on earth, or it could be the closest thing to hell on earth. And that doesn't, I don't see that from marriage to marriage. That's even within a marriage, you know. You know, it's, You know, I remember asking someone that I respected who was married, and I wasn't married yet, what it was like. I said, well, some days you just feel so in love, and other days you just want to, you know, whatever. I heard Billy Graham was, I forget who was interviewing him, but he was being interviewed. No, it wasn't Billy. I'm sorry, it was his wife. What's her name again? Someone knows it. Thank you, Ruth Graham. And they asked her, you know, she's married to Billy Graham. And they asked her, did you ever think about adultery? And she said, no, but I thought about murder. So, you know, it's both and, you know, it's hard. And our pastor, he said this at our wedding, and I'm assuming he says it at every wedding. Remember, he just says it straight like I like to. Remember, you're a sinner marrying a sinner, you know? And so it just is, that is what it is. But we're also redeemed. We have a new identity and we have Jesus. But the point is, Moses wrote that because of the hardness of your hearts, he says. That's an out, if you will. But this is not God's heart. But sometimes people are so hard-hearted that they don't want to get through the hard stuff with their spouse. You know, it just is what it is. Or sometimes because of the lust of the flesh or the eyes, they're attracted to someone else. And so that is adultery. It's adultery to divorce your spouse. It says in the scripture elsewhere, unless they cheated on you, if you divorce them and marry someone else, if you divorce them for any other reason and marry someone else, that's committing adultery. But, and back to number four, we must always leave room for the mercy and grace of God, because though it is, that is considered adultery to do that, it's not like God indefinitely says you're living in constant adultery. His heart would be, you know, you repent of, you know, you confess where you blew it before, and now that you are under a new covenant, you honor that covenant, and you, but again, he doesn't, we don't need him to explain it further, because people that go through that suffer enough pain as it is. And just in life in general, in the kind of other job, you know, I mean, my counseling experience, I've had more than one person that's been cheated on, even when I'm trying to reconcile the marriage, say, I have PTSD, you know, and not to get too technical, but the diagnostic manual doesn't even count that as an actual trauma for that. But it is very stinking traumatic, you could imagine, you know. You know, you go through that and you come home and your spouse is 5 minutes late from work than they normally come home, and just get triggered, you know. So just lots of horrible stuff. This is what Jesus is addressing here, you know. But again, God is gracious. I love how he just takes them back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden again, where it's, you know, and you think about it, we can blame Eve and Adam, I guess, but somebody had a song, I think it's Sarah Groves, that I'm sure I would have eaten it too, you know, that fruit. It's that, that thing. But the thing is, since I say that, I want to clarify, it says clearly in the book of James that God does not tempt, you know, he does not tempt us to do evil. He allows us to be tempted, you know, at times, but he's there. That's kind of what you were praying about. He's our keeper, you know? And so, yeah. So, okay. I'm just looking at the clock. I know this has been very short so far. We've gone through our worksheet. So let me just see if I haven't missed anything. If this isn't a higher foes. I guess even to review it. So in the context of what was going on there, the Pharisees were trying to disprove. What's the word? I can't think of the word, but like to that's not what I'm thinking of, but to show that Jesus is a fraud, you know, which he isn't. They're the frauds, and they try their little angles. But the good thing is that Jesus and Moses are perfectly, you know, perfectly connected. And I, this is not on your sheet, but I'll get, I'll try to, if you want to, if you can flip over to, now I got to think of where I'm going here. Yeah, it's actually, Romans 3, and it's, verse probably 18 or so. And I'm not even there myself. Where Paul talks in Romans 3 about there's no one righteous, no, not one. We're all sinful. We're all, and it even says that no one seeks God. And what I love about that verse, because it says it elsewhere, there's no one who seeks God. It's in the Psalms. So to me, if you're seeking God even this much, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hopefully we seek him with all our hearts, but we all fall short in that. So if you want to, so he says all that, and if you can jump to, even verse 20, and then we'll read a few verses following that. So Paul goes on and say, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what, if someone asks you, what's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? You could ask many Christians, and I bet they'd say, well, we follow them, and we should, but that's not how we get saved. But the main, this, don't turn there or don't screen there, but you can jot, in Galatians 3, Paul says the purpose of the commandment was to point us to Christ, to be our school, our daycare person, really, to take us to Christ. And so here it says something similar. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is supposed to show me that, oh, I'm sinful. I'm in trouble. I'm not going to make it to heaven. I need someone to save me. Oh, Jesus died on the cross for me. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Look at this. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. They come together. They're all pointing to Jesus. We know the whole Bible really points to Jesus. So the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. And he goes on to say there's no difference. The Jew, the non-Jew, it's just as simple as trusting in Jesus. That's how you get saved. But in the context, why, you know, I got another one, if I could tell you ahead of time, Titus chapter 2, and I'll ramble enough, I hope. Titus chapter 2, if you'd go on the screen to verse 11, and then on into chapter 3. So someone bark at me when you see it on the screen. I dare you to bark. You don't have to. Evelyn's not here. She'd do it for me. but the thing is, so it's both and, right? Adultery is a horrible sin. Sin is sin. It only takes one sin to keep you out of heaven, right? So in that way, all sin is equal. You know what I mean? And Jesus said, you know, if you lust, you've heard that it is said of old, do not commit adultery, but if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Okay, guilty. Okay, I'm guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. Still got to battle that flesh. But never have I thought, you know, or gone home, come home and said, honey, to my wife, you guys know her. You know, I already blew it. So I went ahead and bought a hooker, you know, and because I already blew it, right? So see, there's different levels of sin that way. Does that make sense? The devastation that it can cause. The Bible says if you are angry with your brother without a cause, it's murder. Well, sorry, because you might be at lunch with your friend and like, oh, I blew it. So, you know, so that's obvious. It's different, right? So the both end here is that this is serious, and don't get it. Don't fall into this. This is what's ruining society or whatever. However, that doesn't keep you out of heaven if you're a believer. We repent and we don't continue living that way. And when we fall, we get back up, or he picks us back up, right? But what he wants us to is to represent him well. And I think this passage in Titus, this was almost our reading, but it was too long and it was kind of broken up. I got to get back to Titus. How did I get out of Titus? And we'll wrap up. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, I love this. It's convicting, but I love it. And I love it. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, to all of us, teaching us what? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, plural, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Excuse me. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the rapture and the second coming. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. I'm going to read it further in chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now listen, the rest of this is just full on grace that we can end with, and just let this soak in your heart, sink in your heart. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Okay, now comes the grace part. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's our portion as believers. The minute you said yes to Jesus, in sincerity said, Lord, Father, God, forgive me. I need you. I want, you know, whatever the words were, when your heart wanted Jesus to come take charge of your life and to forgive you, that's our portion. And so whatever, and we will struggle with sin the rest of our lives, but we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we have the Word of God, and we have fellowship, and he's provided ways for us to get victory where we need to get victory. And again, if anyone in the room has, if you divorce someone for a different reason than adultery and you're remarried or whatever, God's not condemning you now if you've confessed that to him and you're moving forward and following the Lord. So, Father, thank you for that grace and that mercy that you have, and that you want us always to remember the grace and the mercy of God and of yours, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. We read about the woman at the well. I'm not at the well, that's a different one, but the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. The other classic example of God's grace and goodness is David, what he did with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. And that is on your worksheet. That's for 2 Samuel. Really, if you just look at 2 Samuel on your own, we're going to wrap up here. Chapters 11 and 12. Chapter 11 tells the story of him cheating, with Bathsheba, and then chapter 12, the prophet comes and calls him out on it. And then what I have on your sheet there versus, well, it kind of starts 2 Samuel 12, verses 7 through 25. Verse 7 is where the prophet calls him out. But in that dialogue, after the prophet, God rebukes David through the prophet, Nathan, David being a man after God's own heart, not a perfect man, but a man seeking God's heart, after his heart, said, I have sinned against the Lord. And then he's given total grace. He should have died. And my sister even pointed out to me one time that so should Bathsheba, because the law says if a woman, even if even if she's forced, if it's in the, well, not like forced, but if it's in the city where she could cry out and she doesn't cry out, she's stoned as well. But if it's out in the wilderness and that happens, she's innocent. So they both probably, for sure, David should have been stoned to death. This was still the Old Testament times. And Nathan says to him, the Lord has forgiven your sins. You will not die. But then, you know, the child, she was pregnant. That child died. But then we talk about the mercy and grace of God. She had another child from David. And God didn't even back then tell him, you have to divorce her. He's his wife now. And he had several wives, and I don't have time to get into all that. But who was the next son? Anyone know what his name was? I thought I heard it. Solomon. And who would be the next king? Yeah. Would you do that? Pastor Chuck has a message on Manasseh, one of the worst kings. Horrible. But he, and as bad as Manasseh was, he repented genuinely and got saved. And Pastor Chuck has a message about him called, Would You Forgive This Man? And I think of, if you were God, you know, David cheats and commits murder and all this stuff with this woman, and of all the other sons that God could have chosen to be the next king of Israel, he picks one from Bathsheba. And I confess, I've been burned by people or hurt, and I confess that I have said, I forgive you, yeah, but I often don't seek to hang out with them anymore, which is, I need to grow. You know? But that's the difference between God and us. And again, not to shame anyone, but to just show how wonderfully, wonderfully merciful he is. So thank you, Lord. Amen.